It's good to be with you again this morning, and appreciate everyone coming out and singing songs of praise to God and to pray to God as a group, as a church, as a congregation. You know, back when I was a child, it was said, see the church, see the steeple, open the doors and see the people. That's really wrong. You know, see the church building. Open the door and see the church. The church is us. And so here we are, and we're good to be able to come together this morning. I want to speak to you a few moments this morning concerning, and this is down in the southern part of the United States at least. We think of conservative, liberal, and even now we're to the point of progressive churches of Christ. And Dinah and I was... I preached in West Virginia, maybe been 2 or 3 years ago. We've been going up for a few years up in the Western Virginia area. In the northern part of West Virginia, Alexander Campbell, he built a college and had his home and such as that there. And so we wanted to go up and visit because he had come over from Europe and his father Thomas and such as that. But so we went up to Alexander Campbell's place, and many thought that he was the one that brought the church to the United States. He was not. There was over 200 congregations in existence at the time that Alexander even came to this country. In fact, I was up in the Kentucky part, and there was places there that was in the late 1700s. And but he did. He was instrumental in the church in this part of in the United States. But when I walked, Don and I walked in and with the other couple, and we walked into the library there, and the lady walked up to us. No one else was in the library at that time. It's during the week, and school was out for the summer and such. And she said, are you members of the Lord's Church? And I said, yes. She said, are you a cappella Church of Christ? Are you instrumental Church of Christ? I never heard that before. So now we have churches of Christ that have progressed to the point where they have instrumental music. And so let's look a few moments concerning conservative, liberal, and even progressive type churches of Christ. We're talking about the church that Jesus, the name of it is named after Jesus Christ. Now you say, well, can it be called something? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, it's called the Church of God at Corinth. I don't know whether you was aware of that, but that's what it says. But it also says in Romans 16 and 16, the churches of Christ salute you. So, the word conservative by Oxford Dictionary, which is a man's dictionary, is holding to traditional attitude and values and cautious about change in relation to religion. I think of myself as a conservative. EG means an example of it is, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Now that is being conservative. You go down, Paul said about traditions. Traditions in and of themselves are not wrong, but if you practice a tradition like the Pharisees did, washing the hands before they ate and binding that upon other people, then where is that taught? Where is the book, chapter, and verse? Well, Jesus... Notice his disciples, you know, they ate of grain on the Sabbath day. And they ate without washing their hands, and they approached Jesus about that, the Pharisees did. But in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 15 in the New American Standard Version, therefore, brethren, stand fast. You know, we have that mentioned to us in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. You need to stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So Paul is telling the church at Thessalonica, whether by word when I was there with you and I spoke the word to you, or by this letter, you need to stand fast and hold to the tradition. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, this is the New King James Version, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, Timothy, you be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that person would be a conservative. They rightly divide the word of truth. They speak where the Bible speaks. They're silent where the Bible is silent. A liberal, though, or I think of them as a institutional person. And you say, well, what's an institutional? Well, Lee and I have been talking, and if you got three circles, in benevolence, in whatever, it's always wrong. I cannot find one time where we have biblical authority. For example, if you got here, let's say this circle, and you got the preacher, and down here you have a congregation. Okay, how does that preacher receive his funds? We have an example in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5 where Paul received it from the church at Philippi. What about the middle circle? I've seen this happen in South Africa. The middle circle is always a human institution. What is that? Well, man thinks God needs help in how to do things. So man, we have, as man, has developed a human organization. For example, in South Africa, in Cape Town, when I preached in South Africa, there was what was called a preacher school. There was a huge congregation in Texas who had purchased some land in South Africa. They had other congregations sent to the congregation in Texas, tremendous amount of money. They purchased and they wanted to evangelize and help evangelize or teach the gospel in South Africa. That's a good work. But they went about it wrong. In the sense that what they did, they had five on a board. Three Americans, so they would have the controlling vote, and two South Africans. We had our black course of brethren out in what they call the bush, out in villages. And so what they would do, they would bring in these men who wanted to be a preacher or thought he wanted to be a preacher, and they would attend this school. The Americans controlled the money, funded the school, taught them what they thought they needed to be taught, sent them out to preach in these small villages. That sounds like a good work. But can we find biblical authority? I'll tell you this. By controlling things such as that, we spent one day on George, South Africa, George Harrison, myself, he's dead now, for hours. We started about 2 o'clock at night in the afternoon and went to about 10 that night teaching. The concept of how we can evangelize biblically. And they now do that. That congregation has changed. You cannot go through a human organization. God knows what He's doing. They can be all kinds of corruption that would take place. They told those men what to preach, the subjects, and all. Now, we can find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, notice what Paul said to Timothy. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, Timothy, you preach the word. You be instant in season and out of season. You reprove with all long suffering. And what do you mean? Well, what if you got elders? Well, still, Timothy, you preach the word. Even if a congregation has elders. And what the preacher, now elders, I was served as elder for several years. Yes. An elder may request a certain sermon, but a preacher is to preach the word. And he may come to the preacher and say, we might need to hear a lesson on this and this. And that's good. That's what an elder should do. But what if a preacher needs to also be able to preach the word, look at a congregation, be instant in season and out of season. That means when it's proper and when it's not. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What if a congregation, what if an elders gets off track? Preach the word, Timothy. That's how God wants us to do. Not go through a human organization. Liberal is open to new behavior. opinions and willingness to discard traditional values. And they claim change is good. And it may be that change is good or necessary in some ways, but if it gets outside that book right there, you can't do it, because God's word is inspired in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is inspired and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this word is the word of God. And so we, if God says to do it a certain way, we have no liberty to change it. Well, what's a progressive? I know this wasn't one part of the question that was asked. I was asked to do a lesson or prepare a lesson between conservative and liberal. But I thought we might need to look at progressive too, because I'm telling you what, we're getting way out yonder. When you walk into a building, are you a cappella Church of Christ, or you instrumentals? We've gone a long way. And I'll tell you this, you've got... I looked this morning, just type in, take your internet and type in Church of Christ colleges and look at the list. I did that this morning. There's about 30. Did you know almost half of them now are teaching that it's okay for a woman to get in the pulpit and preach? Now that's a progressive. That's gone beyond, way out yonder. And you say, well, where's something like that? Well, in Nashville, Tennessee area, Franklin, Tennessee, on the website, Fourth Avenue Church of Christ, David Lipscomb now has interns. They're teaching women to be preachers. Fourth Avenue Church took her in. Now, some works now are doing this. Some works have a contemporary worship assembly and a traditional worship assembly. That's amazing to me. It's so far out that we're digressing away from God's word. The traditional is like non-instrumental music. Some of the contemporary now, they have pianos or some type of instrumental music in their singing. Now notice, it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, we're to sing in both cases, in Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19. Well, this is real important. Let me show you what I'm talking about. All right, in Ephesians chapter, let's just go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says to them, we're to speak to one, this New King James Version, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. But notice he said, speaking to one another. That eliminates choir. Because when I sing to Lee sing to Stephanie, to John, that's speaking to what? One another. And if you got a choir up here, they're singing to you. And you say, well, wait a minute, they're speaking to one another. But this is participation. Now look with me in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Here it says that again, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. So, I'll tell you this, I have a problem with a choir singing to me when it says speak to one another. That's a conservative attitude. You see, but a progressive would go as far as the church is concerned as a group of people favoring or implementing social reform. Concerning the Bible, it is contemporary religion. It is politically correct. What I'm teaching you this morning and talking to you about is politically incorrect when you go out the doors of this building. But it's biblically correct. If it's not, please point out the scriptures to me, because I do not want to teach someone error. This morning, I go on the internet, and I can bring up our hometown newspaper in our county. And it happened this morning, so I put this on our show, Larry, this. In the Cullman Times this morning on September the 24th, 2019, on page one, it's recorded for us with a picture of the lady. Link founder Dawn Owens, her picture is there, departs from the organization. That's a quote from the paper. She founded the 501c organization in 2012. She had very good intentions, very good work as individuals, but not the church. Now let's go on. She said on page two that the Link, that's the name of the organization, partnered with what? The Cullman Church of Christ in 2016. She said that the Link strived to help the poor in encouragement, that's good, education and employment in the Cullman area. She said that the Link had helped over 16,000 people in our rural county, our home county. That is an excellent work, but is it the work of the church? Do we have scriptural for that? I can't find any. Let's go on a little bit further. Let's look at the work of the church. I'll just use this one, New American Standard. Well, I have it recorded for us here. Verse chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 11. And he, speaking of Jesus, gave some as apostles and some as prophets. You remember Jesus said he had all authority in Matthew 28 and 18. Didn't he say in Matthew 16 and verse 18 he would build his church? So he has the authority. It's his church. And he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, that means elders, and teachers. In verse 12, why? Why did he do this? For the equipping of the saints for the work of service. What about the world? It's not the work of the church to feed the world. It's not the work of the church. It's a good work to help people have employment. And so, but that's not the spiritual work of the church. Notice what it says. The equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That's a work of the church. Build edification. Building up the body of Christ. Whenever you worship God, I understand, worship is vertical. I sing to God. We were doing that a while ago. It encourages us. It builds us up. Also, horizontally, when we sing to one another, that helps build us. That is, we're singing praises to God. So it's for the helping of the equipping of the work of the service of the church. It's the building up of the body. Well, how do you work? How do you equip the saints? Right here. Through teaching of the word. That's helping equip the saints for the work of ministry. What is ministry? When you go out the door, that part of that is that evangelism. We talked about that yesterday. That's a good work of the church. Okay, so until what? Until we attain the unity of the faith. Until we all have the unity of the faith. Now in this context, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles. And you know, like Lee brought out, we're not to be a church of the Jews and a church of the Gentiles. We're to have that unity of the faith. He goes on, and the knowledge of our Son of God to a mature man. So what? This is the work of the church. Now, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, but in case I'm delayed. You see, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3, I'm going to leave you at Ephesus and I'm going over to Macedonia. And then he says to Timothy, evidently he was planning to come back to Timothy. He said, but Timothy, in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of truth. Paul is telling Timothy the purpose of the church. It is the pillar and the support of truth. Didn't Jesus say to, I remember this because 18 and double it's 36. In John 18 and verse 36, he said to Pilate that the church, the kingdom is none of this world but is spiritual. That's the work. The church is a spiritual kingdom. Truth is contained in the Word of God. Jesus said concerning the apostles in John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, so that the manifold wisdom of God. You know, on a vehicle back when I was growing up, we'd say, well, it's leaking at the manifold. You ever heard that expression? You know what that means? Manifold, many-sided, many. I mean, if you got an 8-cylinder, you got an exhaust for each cylinder. So you have a manifold that takes it to the exhaust. So what does that mean? The manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities. So God's, we need to know the many-sided wisdom of God. We need to learn as much as we can concerning God, because He wants us to know about Him and His ways. Progressive, I suppose. Now, I haven't talked personally to someone that wants to, a woman that wants to be a preacher. But it may be that they use this verse here, Acts 2 and verse 17. I know the one at 4th Avenue Church, I saw her on film. They were showing her. She was on YouTube, I think you call it YouTube. And she said that Galatians 3:28 is where she got her scripture. We'll go to that in just a moment. Okay, but here you got Acts 2 and verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days. And we are in the last days. There will not be a new dispensation. There will not be a new gospel. We're in the last days. Okay. It says here, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. You know, if you prophesy, that's actually speaking, isn't it? Preaching. Think about it. I will pour out. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Well, it's, you know, if you read that verse, that means, man, we can have women preachers. But let's go a little bit further. Here we have an example in Acts 21 and verse 9. We have an example where Philip was at Caesarea. He had his family at Caesarea. He had 4 virgin daughters that could prophesy. Well, if they could prophesy, why couldn't they get up before the assembly and preach? Could they? Do we have scriptures that allow them? We had in Acts 2 and verse 17 where it would happen in the last day. We have here where they are. He had 4 virgin daughters that were who prophesied in Galatians chapter. But we're going to look at a moment, and let's take all the manifold wisdom of God. Take all and put it together and see what it showed. In Galatians 3 and verse 28, Paul said in verse 27 that we're, let's see, it done slipped my mind, but in verse 27 it's talking about baptism. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, New King James, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. This verse 28 is talking about people can become a Christian. Whether you're male or you're female, it's not talking about allowing you to be a preacher. It's not talking about that. And you say, well, are you a male chauvinist? No, I'm just trying to understand what God's Word teaches and teach others, what my thoughts and my understanding is. Scripture out of context is a pretext. The definition of pretext, according to Oxford's Dictionary, is a reason given in justification of a course of action that is not a real reason. When you get away from conservatism, you have to go into pretext and take Scripture out of context, because you want it to justify the course of action that you want it to do. But is that what God wants? No matter if a man could prophesy, no matter if a woman could prophesy, she still was under the authority of a man. I was in South Africa, and I was preaching with the Course of Brethren, and after I completed it, and we had our closing prayer and such as that, and I said, now I'm going to stay around. If some of you have questions, I may not know the answer, but I promise I'll try to find the answer. But if you got answers, questions, I'll be pleased to do that, and I will with y'all too. This one lady, she said, I'm a virgin. This is what she said. In 1 Timothy 2, it's talking about a married woman. In 1 Corinthians 14, it's talking about a married woman, because if she wants to know anything, what should she do? Ask her husband at home. But I'm not married, she said, so I'm not under the authority of a man. Now let me ask you this, how would you have answered her? Was she right or was she wrong? I went to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. Paul said, I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a woman is man. Well, wait a minute, what if she could prophesy? Still her head is the man, and the head of Christ is God. She said, makes sense, I see. She learned. And that's the way I understand it. We have a hierarchy. The head of every man is Christ, and the head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. No matter if a woman could prophesy, she still was under the authority of a man. Well, let's look in the same letter. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 34, New American Standard. Paul said, let your women keep silent in the churches. He was not a male chauvinist. He was guided by the Holy Spirit. He said, you let your women keep silent. Well, what if they could prophesy? We're dealing in this chapter with prophesying. Aren't we? Yeah. Well, what if she could prophesy? She's not permitted to speak. But they are to be submissive as to the law. What law? Well, we can refer back to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. And if they want to learn anything in the women, even those that could prophesy, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in the church. No matter if a woman could prophesy, she was still under the authority. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read this. I'll go to the New King James Version. And it tells us why Paul tells Timothy what God said was why that God wanted men to be the preachers when women are present. Now, how could Philip's four virgin daughters prophesy? Well, they could with other women. But they were limited and restricted from doing it with men. Because then you would have violated 1 Corinthians 14 about being silent. Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, let a woman learn in silence with all submission. And I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. That means be quiet. Well, how can she sing a song if she's to be silent? He's talking in the context of having an authoritative role over a man. Notice what he says. Verse 13, Adam was formed first, and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into the transgression. Satan lied to her in Genesis 3 and verse 4. She believed the lie, she was deceived. That's the context. Now notice verse 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith. What Paul is telling Timothy concerning the woman, she will be saved, but she needs to stay in her role within the assembly. Because notice what he says in verse 8. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Then he says in verse 9, in like manner about the women, to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Then he goes over to verse 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved, even if she cannot teach over a man and usurp, because she was the one that fell under the transgression. She was the one that was being deceived. And God said, but she can be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. If she stays within her role within the church, what about those four daughters in Acts 21? Well, they could prophesy to other women. They could teach as long as they wasn't usurping the authority over the man. In most cases, for people to leave being a conservative of God's Word to a liberal or progressive with God's Word, what I'm teaching is not politically correct. What you're doing here at St. Mary's is not politically correct. You go out to these denominations, I promise you. I was preaching down in Payette in June. And there's a lady that came there, And she hadn't been, she said, I taught in a Catholic school for 39 years. And she was visiting, and she said to me, she said, when's a woman going to get in that pulpit? And, but you know, we started studying with her, and by Wednesday night, she said, well, I tell you, I came Sunday night because of Cindy, but I came tonight because of the Word. She said, the priest told us what to do as I taught school. And if I needed to know anything, he would tell us. But we need to make sure we study the Word. You know what's in there. Don't believe what I'm telling you unless you can support it or back it with the Word of God. Because my knees are going to be bent at the judgment just like yours. James chapter 3 and verse 1. Let not be many teachers, because we're going to receive the stricter judge. Look at the awesome responsibility. I must teach you what it says. I must. No, let's look in John chapter 11 and verse 47. Jesus, in this chapter, is the chapter that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But notice what is recorded for us in verse 47. The chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council, and they said, what shall we do? For this man, talking of Jesus, works many signs. And if we let him, that means miracles, they didn't deny the miracles. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our plate. They'll take away our power. They'll take away our position. Because, and one of them, Caiaphas said, being the high priest that year, said, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation, you know, maybe it'd be better if one man died, get him out of the way. Talking of Jesus. They didn't deny the miracle. And Jesus did nail the old law to the cross in Colossians 2:14. Jesus has been given all authority. Matthew 28 and verse 18. He said, all authority has been given to me in the heaven and on earth. He said this to the apostles. And God wants all churches of Christ to be on the same page doctrinal. Why aren't we on the same page? The Word is the same. Why aren't we the same? Somebody has to change. We have to be careful. We have to be conservative in mind. We have to conserve the truth of God. It was coming so it digressed there at 1 Corinthians 5:1-13, and a man had his own father's wife committing fornication in the congregation. And Paul rebuked them for that and told them concerning the discipline of it. And that's not a very popular thing to do. But God wants His church to stay pure and clean. Paul told the Ephesian church in Ephesians 4 and verse 5 that there was one faith. In Psalms 19 and verse 13, David said, keep back your servant from presumptuous. Don't presume something. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let not them rule over me. Then I will be blameless and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. In Jude verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith concerning the gospel. Jesus prayed for unity in John 17, 20 and 21. He prayed for us to have unity. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10 to the church at Corinth, now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you. Why are there divisions today within the Lord's church? Who divided it, man or God? I think we know the answer. God wants us to be complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. God wants the Jew and the Gentile to be one in Christ, as is taught in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, beginning. Remember that you, speaking of the Gentiles, were at one at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Galatians 3:27-28, we talked about that. God wants us to all be one in Christ. We talked about all Scripture and is given by the inspiration of God. Well, human institution. Let's look a moment at it. That's that middle circle. Oxford Dictionary defines institution as a religious organization founded for religious purposes. And I'm not saying that it's not a good work in the sense that good it comes from, but it's not scriptural by foundation, I guess you'd say. We don't have the scripture to back up the middle circle. When man inserts that middle circle, I cannot find one time where it's right. If you can, tell me. For example, a church, orphan home, preacher school, sponsoring church, I talked some about that. We think we can help God out, and if we'll pool all of our money together. I'm not talking about benevolence where they had that collection in 1 Corinthians 16 and took it down to Jerusalem. But we're talking about starting a human organization, sponsoring church like in South Africa. Those type of human organizations. The primary work of the church is spiritual. And that's why Jesus said to Pilate in John 18 and verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." If my kingdom were of this world, he wasn't challenging Caesar for a kingdom or Pilate. He said, "My servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here." In James chapter 1 and verse 27, "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Who is James writing to? He's writing to those 12 tribes that are scattered. I can't remember. Did I use an example of James? James is writing to individuals. In James chapter 1, this is a New American Standard Version, beginning in verse 19. I can't, when you preach so many different places, I can't remember what I said to what. But did I mention about, about this man where I once preached? You talking about a good guy. He would have given you his shirt off his back. He was that kind of guy. So, I met his wife. I even coached one of his sons. And I try to preach the whole council. I know what I'm doing this today is not politically correct, but it's biblically correct. If it's not, please tell me. So he tended where I was at, and he started missing. And I go to his house, and I said, "Tommy, what's wrong?" He said, "What's the use?" I said, "What do you mean, what's the use?" He said, "My marriage is not right." I said, "It's not." He said, "No. I'm in an adulterous marriage. And we've been married over 40 years and she's sick and I'm not leaving her." Now, have you ever run up on... And he said, "I know I'm wrong. So why come to the assemblies?" And I thought of James chapter 1, verse 19. To this day, he hasn't come back. Now look who James is writing to. He's writing to these 12 tribes that are scattered. These are individuals. And notice what he says in verse 19. He writes a lot of good practical things. But I believe this man, I'm not saying this is just limited to just what I'm telling you, but I think it's included. Listen at what is going on. "This you know, my beloved brethren," James said, "but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Well, I'll tell you this. When you hear God's word, it'll either make you better or bitter. It'll make you happy or sad. It made this man sad, didn't it? The other elder went and talked with him. Well, even if you have to leave this marriage, you can still take care of her. We told him. He wanted to be right with God, but he didn't want to go all the way. He knows that he's going to hell, he says. Well, we're to be, it says here, we're to be quick to hear the word of God. We're to be slow to speak concerning it. We're to be slow to anger towards it. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Oh, this scripture made him angry because of his position in his situation. But it doesn't achieve the righteousness of God until what? Until you change. Notice in verse 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted which is able to save your soul. And he said, I'm not willing to do that. Go on. Verse 22, prove yourselves. He did. He took it and he knew his situation. Prove yourselves, doers of the word, and not just merely hearers. He heard it, but he wasn't willing to be a doer. He goes on in verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and does not do it, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and that's what he had done. But you know, if you go away from that mirror and you go over here and you don't put your head in the book, you'll forget of your situation. That's why he quit the Lord for almost 40 years. We had big tornadoes back in 2011. He told me about those. We had over 200 people killed in North Alabama that day. He said, it got my attention. So he comes back. He hears the word. It's like that mirror. He had forgotten what he looked. This is how this works. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets or forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently in the perfect line, that's what we're to do. We're to have a checkup from the neck up, the law of liberty, and abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religion and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in distress. One of the brothers down at Payette, he's a good friend of mine. He's visited up at Moscow. He's a widower. He said, Alton, he said, it is so much enjoyment to visit the widows. He said, I went over at Vivian's house. She's a fine sister in Christ. I knew her husband. He died. She said, I looked in her faucet. I went over and I said, Vivian, I'm going to take you to lunch. And he goes in her house and he looks and that faucet wasn't working. She's bypassed it and using another one. Visit the orphan and the widows in their distress. Encourage them. That's individuals. We don't have to build a home for widows. These are individuals. Isn't that more personal? I'm telling you, he said, she just lit up. He said, I believe that's what that's talking about. If it's not, what is it talking about? These were brethren who were scattered. And when you're scattered like that, you may need help. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, be hospitable without complaint. Who is he writing to? Those of Cappadocia, Bithynia, Asia Minor, those people that are being persecuted and scattered? We don't have to build all these buildings to do that work for us. We can do it as individuals. So what should we do? We need to do that. Notice what a widow. I mean, in all my years, I've known of one widow indeed. We had a black sister, and she was a fine Christian, but she had nobody. The church provided for her needs. She died years ago, but she was over 60 years old. This is, God tells us the widows that is to be supported by the congregation. It has to be someone at least 60 years old. Well, let's look at it real quickly. I know it may be going overtime, but let's look at it. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And you probably studied this. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 9, do not let a widow, this is a congregation, you know, Paul is writing to Timothy and he said, be careful. He said in verse 8, anyone does not provide for his own family, and especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken in to the number. He's talking about a church congregation. And not unless she has been a wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But refuse the young widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton or disregard the gospel against God Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle and wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, that's God telling this. 1 John 3 and verse 17. Whoever has this word's good, and we see someone in need, we need to help them. A brother, especially those of the household of faith. He's writing to individuals. Benevolence. Acts 11 and 29, we have a congregation in Antioch that sent relief to the brethren at Judea. There was a famine that took place. One congregation, I know y'all said that y'all have helped in funds international, maybe disaster areas. There's an example. See, you're doing what it says. Here's an example. Acts 11, 29 and 30, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea, as they also did, and they sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. There's your two circles. Just like what you're doing. Are you following me? You're not going through a middle human institution to send that money, I guess, to the Philippines or where you do. You go in the two circles. Well, let's just stop because I got other, but anyway, I think you get the gist of it. Conservative, liberal, and progressive. We have to be careful. We have to be careful concerning our work in the church. Can we do work? Sure, but we have to do it according to God's word. That's what He wants us to do. So if there's anyone here this morning who has a need of the gospel invitation in any way, we bid you to come as we stand and sing.
Number 300.